Morning, everyone. We praise God for the rain that we got today and in the past 2 weeks. The scripture reading today is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. In the Brown Bible, the page number is 1161. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have your sermon outline for this morning. Take that out. With Thanksgiving season upon us, the sermon today, as well as next week, will have a theme revolving around giving thanks. And today I wanted to just present a message from Philippians 1, because the verses 3 through 6 is a expression of thanks from the Apostle Paul to these Christians in Philippi. The Philippians, the letter he wrote to the Christians there, it's called Philippians. But it expresses largely what's on my heart as well in giving thanks for all of you. And so there's a lot of parallel that we'll be sharing today. Okay, so let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, how we do give you praise and thanks for so many blessings that we often take for granted. But Father, it's good to be reminded. And certainly as we gather for worship and fellowship on Sundays, that is certainly one opportunity to be reminded of how much we have to be thankful for. And we just want to commit this time to you and ask that your word would speak to our hearts through the power of your Spirit, that you would impress upon our hearts and our lives all that we can thank you for and to praise you for. Thank you so much for our church family and for each person who is a part of our extended church family, for what a blessing it is to be a part of the CCC family. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have something to write with to fill in the blanks as we go along, that would be great. Appreciate Stan filling in for scripture reading. Clifford Chow was scheduled to read the scripture, but he texted me this morning letting me know he was sick, and so we certainly want to remember him in prayer. The first blank for your outline, number one, I thank God for our CCC family. That's the blank for number one. The Apostle Paul certainly had a very strong love relationship with a number of the churches that God used him to help start in the first century AD. And this is still common today, even thousands of years later, is that churches remember individuals that God used to help start that particular church. Here at CCC, some of you have been around for a while, you know that once in a while you hear the name Reverend Kwok. He helped start this church about 91 years ago in 1924. And we are so blessed to have several families that have generations that trace all the way back to the beginning of this church in 1924. And what a blessing to have that kind of longevity and that kind of stability. But we also thank God, of course, for everyone else that's come along during those 91 years. Now, I'm going to be sharing some background information. Those of you who do like to take notes, feel free, but you don't have to try to write frantically everything I'm about to share with you, because I decided to list it as a blog entry on our CCC website. So if you're interested in some of these details, you can just check that later. I literally cut and pasted into that blog entry, so everything I'm about to share can be found on our website under my blog entry, okay? But the Apostle Paul, some of you are familiar with some of this information, but he took three missionary journeys in that first century AD. And the first one was from about AD 46 to 48. That's recorded in Acts chapter 13 to 14. The second journey was in AD 49 to 52 approximately, and that's recorded in Acts chapter 15 to 18. And then the third missionary journey was from about AD 53 to 57. That's recorded in Acts chapters 18 to 21. he was in this city of Philippi on his second and third journeys. During his first visit to Philippi, some of you are familiar with in Acts 16, it mentions the conversions of Lydia, who came to faith in Jesus Christ, as well as her family, and also the Philippian jailer and his family. The church in Philippi started shortly after his first visit there on his second missionary journey. Now, the occasion of the letter that he wrote to the Philippians was kind of a thank you note, because the Christians in Philippi have been very faithful and loving in providing support to the Apostle Paul, especially in his times of need. When he wrote this letter, he was most likely under house arrest. When he talks about being a prisoner, he was a prisoner, but he was in his own rented home, and that's recorded in Acts chapter 28, verse 30. Again, all of this is in the blog on our website. It was during this time that Paul probably wrote the epistle, the letter to the Ephesians, as well as the Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. They're commonly referred to as the prison epistles, but this is not when, as Paul experienced the hardship and the suffering of being imprisoned in a dungeon. That was a different time. During this time, he was under house arrest for a couple of years in Rome. As I mentioned, the Christians in Philippi had sent money to help Paul to be more comfortable during his house arrest in Rome, as well as three other times earlier, when twice when Paul was in Thessalonica, and once when he was in Corinth. Now, those who've had the privilege and the blessing of traveling to the Middle East, maybe on a cruise or whatever, have visited some of these ancient sites. The Philippian church had sent this gift that Paul is responding to in the epistle of the Philippians. They sent the gift from one of their representatives. His name was Epaphroditus. Now, he could possibly have been their pastor. And so now we have the letter, which is basically a thank you letter from the Apostle Paul to these Christians, these brothers and sisters in Philippi. Some of you have been keeping up with the correspondence we receive from our missionary families. As we mentioned, we have seven different missionary families that we support on a regular basis. And we try to post them on the bulletin boards in the main hallway that leads to the gym, you know, on the side of the kitchen. And so we encourage you to check those out occasionally. We try to keep them up to date. But here's just a couple of samples. Some of you are familiar with Nick and Tricia Beebe, who are serving in Asia. This is a note they sent a few years ago. It says, "We recently received your gift and wanted to thank you for thinking of us. You've all been so generous and full of love towards our family. We really feel sent as missionaries from CCC, sent by each of you there, and we are grateful for you all." Here's a little note, a handwritten note from Ed and Rachel Awe that we support. They also minister in different parts of Asia. "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ of Chinese Community Church, greetings in the name of Jesus. We hope this note finds all of you well. We want to say a big thank you for the love gift. Thank you for standing by us all these years, supporting us with your prayers, finances, and encouragements." These are just a couple of samples. We receive these notes on a very regular basis, as well as their monthly news updates, and we post them, again, on those bulletin boards. So check those out as you have opportunity. The Apostle Paul, as I said earlier, helped start this church in Philippi, but it had probably been about 5 years since he saw them face to face when he writes this epistle, this letter to them. And he was under house arrest in Rome, and the distance between Rome and Philippi, if you fly, as the crow flies, so to speak, it's 600 miles, which is about the distance flying from Sacramento to Seattle. But if you travel by actual land routes, including taking a boat across the Adriatic Sea, it'll be about 800 miles. Now, how long does that take to travel? Well, today, by plane, you figure a couple of hours. Back then, it would take months and months. They didn't have modern communication and technologies we have today. So their memories were very, very precious. And as I talk about memories of all of you and my 7 years here at CCC, we have so much technology. I mean, I have plenty of photographs on my phone, as well as videos, as well as many of you have that as well. And so we're able to communicate on a regular basis. But this is what I want to share in verses 3 and 4, when the Apostle Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you, In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And certainly, this has been my recollection over the last 7 years. And as I think back with fond memories to the very beginning. Now, some of you have heard the story before. Others, perhaps, have not heard it. But you may remember I've shared about the very beginning of our relationship. It was back in 2008. And I've been in ministry for over 36 years. I've been involved in a number of different churches. As a matter of fact, CCC is my 10th church. Now, some of you think, wow, 10 churches in 36 years. You didn't last very long at each church. Well, you have to understand, this is only the third church I've served as the permanent pastor. The other seven were as part-time interims, helping because I had another part-time ministry as well. But it started back in 2008. I was actually a part-time interim helping a church in San Francisco. And I'd only been there for about 3 months. And at that time, back in late 2008, this church was going through somewhat of a difficult transition period between pastors. You were without a pastor, and the consistory at the time had been receiving some help and consultation with a ministry leader by the name of Greg Yee. Greg Yee just happened to be from a church in Oakland back in the 80s, where I served as the English-speaking pastor. He was in high school at the time. He's a little bit younger. But he's been in ministry all these years. God led him into ministry, and he's become actually a national leader with his denomination. But he was consulting with the church here, church leaders, and when the church here was in a position where they needed an interim, a part-time interim, Greg Yee told them, get in touch with me because of my network with different English-speaking Asian leaders in the area that I could help perhaps refer them to a potential candidate for an interim here at CCC. As I mentioned, I was serving at a church in San Francisco, and during that time, I was experiencing some rather unusual encounters with some hypercritical individuals who were part of that little church in San Francisco. I'd been in ministry about 30 years at the time, never had encountered this kind of hypercriticism. I mean, I was getting emails on Sunday afternoons after my sermons just really blasting me for my sermons and whatever, just like, wow. You know, I was just a part-time interim, remember, okay, And I get this phone call from one of the consistory members at the time, I believe it was Davida, and she said, Greg Yee gave us your name and phone number and said that perhaps we should call you to see if you could help refer us to someone who might be able to serve here at our church as a part-time interim. And I said, you're looking for a part-time interim? I said, well, actually, I'm interested myself. My wife and I had moved from the Bay Area, East Bay, to Elk Grove 10 years ago, 2005. And so from 2005 to 2008, I was actually driving back and forth to the Bay Area at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, helping whatever church I was helping as an interim. So that was true that this church in San Francisco, I was driving all the way from Elk Grove to San Francisco once or twice a week. And because of the encounter with these individuals who were just incredibly hypercritical, whatever, I felt the Lord leading me to consider, to be a little more open to the possibility that maybe God would want me to serve in a church closer to home, right here in Sacramento. And so I do remember that first phone conversation, I believe it was Davida, and she was a little surprised because, you know, she was expecting me to help give her some names and contact information for some other individuals. And all of a sudden I said, well, I'm interested myself. And she goes, oh, really? Okay, well, set up a lunch appointment for an interview. And the consistory members at that time, I believe they included Todd Fong, Matt Fong, Steve Chan, Donna Chun, Davida, and Karen Chan. And so we had lunch, and we met, and we talked a little bit. And I said, you know, I'm living in Elk Grove, so certainly it would be more convenient for me to serve a church here in Sacramento. And so after a few more meetings, decided, yes, okay, I'll start as the part-time interim in January of 2009. That's when I first came to CCC. My very first Sunday here, Michael Wong was actually being installed and ordained as an elder, a new consistory member. And so I've been here for just about 7 years at the end of this year. And when I think back about how God brought us together and the relationship we've had for 7 years and the kind of love and the kind of acceptance, that encouragement, support I've received from serving you here at this church, it's been such a blessing. And so that's why, like the Apostle Paul, I do thank God every time I remember all of you. And in all my prayers for you, I pray with joy. excuse me. So when I started here as a part-time interim in January of 2009, it was just about 3 months. After about 3 months, you know, we could just sense the connection. Every church family, every pastor, you know, they have a slightly different personality, and sometimes, you know, even though they believe the same things and they have similar convictions about things, it's not always good chemistry, you know, just their personality, temperaments, whatever, styles of ministry. But after about 3 months, it became pretty clear to the leaders as well as the church family that we were meshing quite well. And so I became the permanent three-quarter time pastor in April of 2009, because I still had this other little ministry I was doing called MESA, Ministries for English-Speaking Asians. And after about another year, realizing, you know, even though I was at three-quarter time, technically, it seemed like it was becoming pretty much full-time. The following year, 2010, is when it became official. I became a permanent full-time pastor here. And so, and I mentioned to the church family this past September, just a little bit of trivia, that of all the churches I've served as a full-time permanent pastor, finishing in September, made CCC the church that I've been at the longest as a full-time permanent pastor. And I shared that at the end of September, and, you know, there was applause. I'm like, really, yeah. If you want to applaud, go ahead. No, no, you don't even. Just a little tidbit that really is pretty insignificant, except, you know, my own mind and my own heart and ministry, just recollection, just thinking, yeah, this is the longest. Because, you know, I'm 61 years old now, and this will most likely be the last church I serve as a permanent full-time pastor. And it's with a lot of just fond memories that I have of all of you, and it's just great to be a part of this church family. If you look at point number two in your outline, not only giving thanks for this church family, every time I remember you and praying with joy with all my prayers for you, but point number two, I thank God for our partnership and fellowship in the gospel. This is what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 1, verse 5 of Philippians. He says, the reason why he does thank God for them and prays with joy is because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And that word for partnership, you know, there are a lot of different partnerships we experience in life. Humanly speaking, you know, some have partnerships in business, certainly have partnerships in friendships and relationships. But here, the word in the original language in Philippians 1, verse 5, is koinonia. Some of you have heard that term before. But it's not just talking about any kind of relationship. It's talking about a special relationship, a special partnership that shares the life of Jesus Christ. We have a special connection because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's unique. It's supernatural. It goes beyond all the human distinctions that separate people. And that's why within the body of Christ, to experience this kind of unity and this kind of harmony is something that is very special and is a very special blessing from God that we should all be very thankful for. And as you've been around this church family a while, you know, you hear people share testimonies, they share their own impressions of their initial contacts with the church family over many, many years. And it's such a blessing to hear that regardless of all the human distinctions, even though we're called the Chinese Community Church, because those are the roots of this church 91 years ago, everyone feels welcome, regardless of not only if they're Chinese or not, whether they're Asian or not, doesn't matter, because of the love of God that's here and the acceptance and realizing that we are one in Jesus Christ, everyone who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, again, it's not just a connection, a koinonia that we have with anybody who professes faith in Christ. There are a lot of people in the world who call themselves Christians, but it's basically just lip service. Now, even Jesus warned about this in Matthew chapter 7. We're not going to turn there, but if you want to jot down the reference in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus has a very severe warning for those who would call on his name, but they don't really have a relationship with Christ. It's just lip service. They're going through the motions. And sometimes people use the expression, they don't possess Christ. They profess Christ with their lips, but they don't actually possess Christ in their hearts. What's the difference? What's the difference? How do we know if we're just giving lip service or mere external religious activity versus really knowing, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, again and again, throughout the New Testament, it talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the word gospel simply means good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Why is it good news? Because the Bible makes it clear that all of us are separated from God because all of us fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. Because we're all separated from an infinitely holy God, all of us, we don't have that personal relationship with God just naturally. We're born separated from Him. Not only because of the sin of Adam and Eve that we've all inherited, but because of our own choices, we're all like sheep, we'll be gone astray. So it's pretty bleak, and that's the sad news, but the good news, and this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that God sent His only Son, Jesus, to die to pay the penalty for all of our sin. And so like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Through simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can enter into this personal relationship with the living God. It's not about just what we say, and it's not just about religious activity. And I've said this, you know, in many sermons for the last 7 years. Unfortunately, every single church anywhere in the world, you have two groups of people. You have people who really know Jesus Christ, the personal faith in Christ, and then you have other people who are just going through the motions. And you can have people who are born into the church, who've been in church all their lives, and yet do not have a personal relationship with the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's scary, but it's a reality. And we're not here to judge anyone. Obviously, we don't look around and say, okay, I wonder, you know, if they possess Christ or they just profess Christ. That's not for anybody to judge anyone else. It's only for us to look in the mirror and determine for ourselves. There's a passage in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. If you want to just jot it down, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, God tells us, examine ourselves to see if we really are in the faith. That's a pretty sobering command. So it's not to judge anybody else, because we'll never know what's in somebody else's heart. Even our own spouses, our children, our parents, people we're very close to, humanly speaking, we'll never know for sure about anyone else except ourselves. Do I have Jesus Christ in my life? Have I come to faith in Jesus Christ? It's not just how long I've been in church. It's not just all the things I do that I think are good things that are like Christian, you know, they make me look like a Christian. It's do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? And so that's a question for each and every one of us to ask ourselves this morning. Apart from whatever religious activity I have in my life, do I know Jesus Christ in a personal way? If I'm not sure, then that's something you might want to check out as soon as possible. Please come see me, give me a call, whatever. I'll be more than happy. I'll treat you to lunch or dinner, breakfast, whatever is convenient for you. I'd be more than happy to sit down and talk about that. Any of our consistory members, we'd love to be able to sit down and chat about it. And almost every year, I hear of individuals, whether it be here at this church or any church, you hear testimonies of people who've been in church all their lives, and they never realized they never had a personal relationship with Christ until God speaks to them in some way to make it clear that, wow, I've been in church all my life. All this time I thought I was a Christian, and they didn't have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So please, if you're even just 80% sure, and you got 20% doubt, please let us know, and we're more than happy to sit down, because the Bible can give us assurance of our salvation. In 1 John, you know, it talks about 1 John chapter 5. It says, you know, how do we know we have eternal life? It just says, well, we have the Son, Jesus Christ. If we have trusted in Jesus Christ, simply believing that He is the Son of God, He died for our sin, rose from the dead, that's how we can know for sure. Not 90%, not 95%. We can be 100% sure we have eternal life if we have personal faith in Jesus Christ. I know that's a lot, but, you know, again, I think it's so important for each of us to have that pause and just a moment and just do I thank God first and foremost for my personal faith in Jesus Christ? That's more important than anything else. Well, you know, those of us who've we have that certainty that we have faith in Jesus Christ. We're part of a church family. CCC has been such a blessing because one of the things about our partnership in the gospel is that unlike so many churches in America, at least, and some of you have heard these statistics before, but you know, so many churches in America, 5% of the people do 95% of the work. And this is generally known among ministers and pastors. We talk about all the time. You know, they always talk about the little core group, 5%, they do 95% of the work. And the rest of the people are just spectators. You know, they maybe show up on Sundays, whatever, but they don't get involved at all. That is not the case here at CCC. Here at CCC, it's almost the, you know, it's incredible how the vast majority of folks who are here attending on a regular basis, are involved in some aspect of the ministry, the program, the outreaches of our church. And that is such a blessing to see. Now, if you come here on Sundays and you're involved in some particular ministry, you may not be aware of all the other ministries that are going on. As a matter of fact, there are some folks who are very faithful in taking care of different things here at the church that are kind of invisible because they don't do them on Sunday mornings. But since I'm around church a little more because of office hours, whatever, I get to see some of the brothers and sisters and some of the things they're doing that nobody else sees, that nobody else is even aware of. But because of their faithfulness, because they're doing it as unto God, because they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they're not looking for praise from people or for recognition or whatever, but I'm aware of how many people are doing so many different things behind the scenes. And there are other things, I mean, like myself, obviously, my kind of ministry, I get more visibility. And so, you know, others serve and we're more visible, so you're aware that we're doing different things. But there are so many folks here that are part of the CCC extended family who are involved, who are participating, who are partners in the gospel ministry here at CCC. And last Sunday, you know, part of the reason I spoke on this passage today is last Sunday we had our annual congregational meeting, and it just kind of reminded me of all these different ministries that are going on because of so many faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. I've mentioned many times before about how thankful I am for our consistory members. Consistory is our denominational term for our church board. But those who function as elders and deacons in this church, the brothers and sisters who've done so faithfully all these years, are just such an incredible blessing. They really are. And if you've been here all your lives, you know, sometimes you just kind of take things for granted. And you may not even be aware how unusual this church board really is. The spirit of unity and harmony that exists here is absolutely incredible. When I get together with other ministry friends, and you know, we always get around to asking, well, how are things going in your church, whatever. I've mentioned this to the congregation before. I actually have to stop and catch myself from gushing and going on too much about how great, because I have to remember that's my unique case here at CCC. Majority of ministers, it's not like that. You know, there's an expression among ministers when they start at a church, they call it the honeymoon period. Everything's great for 3 months, maybe 6 months, and then reality hits. You know, the honeymoon ends. Just like in real marriage, you know, it's the honeymoon's over, you know, real life sets in. There's bound to be some problems. But here at CCC, you know, it's been 7 years, and quite honestly, when I get together with my ministry friends, I can honestly tell them it's like the honeymoon is still going on. I mean, it's been 7 years, and they're looking at me like, you know, either I'm delusional or I'm in, you know, I'm in denial. Versus, no, seriously. You know, I'm not fresh out of seminary. I've been around the block a few times. I've been involved in other churches. I'm telling you, this is a really unusual church. And I tell the congregation that a number of times, and I know some of you, I look out and see the faces. You've heard me say this dozens of times, and you're still skeptical, and you're still saying to yourself, he probably sells that to every church he's at. That's not true. I'm telling you again for the 20th time, I don't say that to every church I serve at. It's a reality here. It's a blessing that I am very grateful for. There's a passage of scripture, you want to look at it later on your own, but some of you are familiar with it already, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about how every single person who has faith in Jesus Christ is a member of Christ's spiritual body. And like any body, there are many different parts, and every part plays its has a particular function, and every part is important, is essential to the well-being of the entire body. Some parts are less visible, They don't get as much honor and recognition, but they are still a vital part of the body. And that's very much the way it is here at CCC. Every single person who contributes in some way, even though you may not get much recognition, even though a lot of people don't even know you're doing what you're doing, it's an important, essential part to the overall health of our church family and our church body. Besides consistory, you know, obviously the Sunday school ministry, those who serve with the children's church. Children's church takes place, you know, some of you have been around for worship services, you know that after the worship time, the children are dismissed. You know, you wonder where they go. You know, they go back into the fellowship center. Who takes care of them? Who does a program for them? We have several individuals who've been faithfully doing that, and they miss out on the worship service. We could certainly use more help so they can rotate in and be in our worship service a little more often. If you're interested in helping out, even if it's just once every 6 months, one Sunday every 6 months, and you won't be left on your own. You can get some training and instruction, and you can be a helper, whatever. But just to help out, if you're interested, talk to May, talk to Carrie. The Children's Church ministry takes place during our worship service. And some of those folks, you know, they miss out on worship service. They've been missing out for months, some years. But, you know, they're very faithful, and I just praise God for them. All of our Bible study groups, you know, the Monday night Bible study group that Stan's been leading for, Stan, how many years has it been? 9, 10? So before I came, yeah. That's a co-ed Bible study, 7 p.m., men and women. Tuesday night, men's Bible study. Wednesday night, women's ministry. We have our monthly Bible study. All the brothers and sisters who serve in the worship ministry, I just so much appreciate Dan and Ted and others who help lead that ministry. So many individuals who are part of it. Again, if you've been here for a long time, it's easy to take for granted the kind of blessing that we have to have these brothers and sisters that God has gifted, and they practice, and they help lead us into God's presence on Sundays. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I, you know, there are times when we're in worship, and because worship precedes my time of preaching, I mean, sometimes I get choked up during our worship because, to me, the way we measure quality of worship is not just how great the band is or great the music. I mean, that's great that they have those skills. But real, genuine, spiritual worship is when we sense the presence of God. When we are in his presence and our hearts are just really impacted by how awesome God is, how amazing his love and his righteous holiness is. And it causes me personally, and I know others of you, to get kind of choked up. Because it is awesome to be in the presence of God, especially together with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I really appreciate our worship ministry so much. But there's all these other programs that some of you are aware of and some maybe not as aware of, but you know, the basketball program has been going on for, what, over 25 years. And all those individuals who helped start that program, as well as those who continue to serve in those capacities. How many different brothers and sisters in Christ have come to CCC family through the basketball program and continue to do so? And just thank God again for all those individuals who helped in the leadership, every single person, man, woman, and child, who donated toward the building program that we would have that facility. Completely paid off. I mean, what a blessing. And how it's being used not only for the basketball program, but for so many other ministries and programs of the church. Fellowship groups, the hula, the ukulele fellowships. Again, when they started, I'll be the first one to admit, you know, I was like, when I first heard the idea, I thought, you want to start a ukulele and a hula fellowship? And I've never heard of any church doing that, maybe in Hawaii, you know, but not around here. And I thought, that sounds a little unusual, but I mean, they were very adamant about it and felt like there was great potential in reaching folks in the community. So like, okay, yeah, let's go for it, you know? And Ted and Mariel and others have been involved in those ministries. And how many unchurched folks come to those meetings? And how there's people from our church, people from other churches, but a whole lot of people who don't go to any church, and they're drawn to those particular fellowship groups. I have the opportunity of sharing a brief devotional and a word of prayer at the beginning of each of those fellowship meetings. And I have the opportunity of sharing something of the love of God with these folks who would not normally come to any church worship service. And we're seeing individuals who God leads to become a part of our Sunday worship service. What a blessing. What an incredible blessing that is. But these programs go on. The youth ministry, all the annual events, you know, the fall festival, the Jung events that happen, and how many people are involved. Obviously, we have some chair people who help coordinate the whole thing, but so many individuals involved, not only from the church family, but from other churches, from folks in the community who don't attend any particular church. Just all of these different ministries that take place. And there are individuals who help with the facilities. Again, as I mentioned, you know, during the week, many times nobody knows what they're doing, or, you know, we come here and everything just functions and everything's working, everything looks great. How does that happen? Because there's some folks who are very faithful, and they're humble enough to serve in capacities like that. They don't have a title necessarily. No one even knows what they're doing. But we thank God for each and every one. They're members of the body of Christ, and every member has an essential role. If you're here and you're maybe not involved in any particular ministry yet, and you want to know how to get involved, come talk to any of our consistory members. Come talk to me. I'd be more than happy to just share some needs. One small little need that we've mentioned, it's just a relatively small thing, but it's something that requires some faithfulness and a little bit of sacrifice on Sunday mornings. We've mentioned for years, Stan has been so faithful coming here early to help set up chairs and tables for the Sunday school program. And so Stan usually get here by about 8:45. He's been doing that for years by himself. And I know others have helped here and there, but if you want to come help, you know, you don't mind coming a little earlier, it'd be great to have you help come talk to Stan, talk to myself, whatever. But there are other needs as well. The individuals who are helping have been doing it for years, but we can always use additional help and get people involved in one way or another. Sorry, I got a little carried away here. I was looking at my watch. Okay, I think I'll finish the rest of this next Sunday, but certainly the Apostle Paul is thanking God not only for their partnership in the gospel, but in verse 6, this last point about how God has begun a good work in us, and he'll finish it to the day of Christ, which is the day when Jesus returns. So I'll finish this next Sunday. But again, just really thank God for all of you who are part of the church family. You're a guest here today. We certainly appreciate you being here with us. We certainly hope that we'll see you again. But thank God for blessing us with a church family like CCC. Okay, let's close in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, thanks again for your many blessings. Thank you most of all for new life that you offer us through simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much you sent your son Jesus to die for us, that he was raised from the dead and is alive today. And we pray that each and every one of us here today would have that sense of assurance that we have Christ in our hearts and our lives because we have put our faith and trust in you. And Father God, thank you for each person who's here. Thank you for blessing this church family in so many ways. But we thank you for the partnership, the koinonia that we experience as brothers and sisters in Christ. So Father, we give you all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.